Good morning. Great to be in the pulpit again today. Pastor Frank is at our youth service today, so I'm here at helping you. Great joy to be in the series, Need Help, the Holy Spirit, Your Helper. And today, part of that series is I will be speaking on Walk or Live by the Spirit and Keep in Step with the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we come to Your Word this morning, we do need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We do need Him to illuminate our minds and our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You will indeed open our hearts to Your Word and Your Word to our hearts. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let not be heard, but You alone, for Your glory and for Your sake. Amen. Two verses from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and also from verse 25. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says this: "So I say, live or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And in verse 25 he says, "Since we live or walk by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, dear friends, unless you are confined to bed for health reasons, or unfortunately have to use a wheelchair, how do we normally get around? We walk, right? And this is our normal activity. The Greek word is peripateo. And you know, we get our word pedestrian from that word, which just means to walk up and down. It's a pace slower than a run. Even the prophet Isaiah reminded us in chapter 40, verse 11, that sometimes we will soar on wings with eagles and run, not grow weary, and we will walk and not faint. Because you see, walking is our usual way we move along. Walking means going somewhere. It means starting out at one place and ending in another. And whenever we have gone on a walk, it has always been from somewhere to somewhere. And when we walk, we make progress, one step at a time. And our progress might not be as fast as when we run, but it's always steady. Now, the context of Galatians chapter 5, especially from verses 16 through to 26, the apostle expounds the antagonism between the flesh and the spirit. He contrasts the difference between the natural or sinful life and the new spiritual life in Christ. And he clearly implies that there's this conflict between the believer's new spiritual nature and the old sinful nature. And as Christians, I'm sure you will have experienced that in your own life. But for the purposes of this sermon, I'm not going to give an exposition of the passage, but I want to lift out of this passage these two verses regarding to walk or live by the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit. So let us see what we can learn from these verses. Verse 16 again: "So I say, walk or live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." It's interesting to note that the word walk is mentioned many times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's also used in both the literal and the figurative senses. I'm sure you'll remember from Acts chapter 9 verse 2 and Acts 24:14 that Christianity was first called the Way, because Jesus, you remember, said, "I am the Way." And throughout the Scriptures, God's children are instructed to walk in the Way. Here the Apostle Paul uses the word walk as a figure of speech or a metaphor to describe a way of life. And he decidedly uses this word to denote spiritual overtones. One either walks, conducts his life as a Christian or as a non-Christian. And it's one way of saying, live a Christ-like life. To walk in the Spirit is to pattern our life after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you're taking notes this morning, here's note number one. What does it mean to walk or live by the Spirit? What does it mean to walk or live by the Spirit? And there are two ways to live. Two ways to live: the self-life and the Spirit-filled life. Now, the self-life is when we please ourselves, the flesh, or our sinful nature. And we can look up that list in Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Do that as homework. This is when we live to gain reputation with others for ourselves. We seek the approval of others, how they see us. When we care more about what others say about us than we care about what God says about us. It's living for oneself, full of pride, selfishness, self-worship. And of course, those who live like that will know that never brings satisfaction or peace. But the Spirit-filled life is when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our conduct wherever we go and whatever we do. It means that our daily conduct must be characterized by where we put our footsteps throughout the day. It means that we will seek the Holy Spirit's influence to guide and direct all areas of our lives and be the empowering element in all we do. So walking or living in the Spirit enables us as believers not to please ourselves, but to please our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that our conduct is governed by the Spirit, and we follow His direction and promptings, we will not be dominated by our human sinful nature, but instead we will be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And next week in our series you will be hearing about that. So to walk or live by the Spirit means to move forward. That is not to be content where you are right now. 2 Peter 3:18 says this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is growth? Growth is not remaining the same. Any plant which grows, and we grow. And the Apostle Peter is telling us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And you remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians 3:14. Press on toward the goal to win the prize by which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I found that many people get saved and then it seems they're content to just stay where they are. They're not really interested in spiritual progress or in the direction of their walk. What is so interesting that the Greek word for walk is in the continuous present tense. That means we are to continue to walk or to keep on walking in the Spirit. That is, it must be a daily routine, a continual action, not in fits and starts, if and when we feel like it. You know, it's like getting married. After every wedding comes a marriage. The wedding is just the start, and then the real work of living in a marriage begins. If I may paraphrase Sir Winston Churchill, this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. And that's true in our Christian life. When we become Christians, we've got to go on growing. as we have to continually work at our marriage, so we have to do in our Christian walk. And Paul reminds us in Philippians again that we are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. If we're standing still, not moving forward, then as verse 16 reminds us, we will be more likely to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that, of course, denotes our human nature apart from the divine influence. And therefore, we are prone more to sinning and, of course, opposed to God. But, dear friends, if we are walking or living by the Spirit, we will live to please the Lord. We will have God's power within us, His energy, His strength working in us and through us in a way that never violates ourselves or others, and of course ultimately God Himself. You see, it's one or the other, and it's up to us. I quote, somebody said, "The possibility of living a Holy Spirit-filled life is ours because of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ and the permanent residency of the Holy Spirit within us. It is all a matter of obedience, of yielding to the Holy Spirit, of making ourselves available to Him moment by moment, situation by situation, decision by decision. It is the only way our Christian life can be lived, and it is the only way that we will make progress in our Christian walk." That lovely hymn we sang, "Trust and Obey," is the only way to be happy in Jesus. So second point here, if you're taking notes, note number 2, how do we walk or live by the Spirit? How do we walk or live by the Spirit? Continuing the notes, obviously first and foremost, we need the help of the Holy Spirit Himself. After all, He is our helper. So, we must be sure that we have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. We learnt about that last week. When Jesus said, you remember, speaking to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again." The Holy Spirit who only indwells those who have been born again, the one who has believed on Jesus and trusted on His death on the cross for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. No one who belongs to Christ is without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Dear friends, you cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And as Paul again in Romans 8, 15, 16. Romans 8, verse 15, 16. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." That's a beautiful verse. How do you know you're a Christian? Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you're a child of God. You know because you know because you know. Is that right? And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And I wonder if that is your experience today. You know it because you know it. The Holy Spirit witnessing with your spirit. We must never underestimate what takes place when the Holy Spirit enters a person's life. All Christian growth happens because of Him, continues because of Him, and will end because of him. And if that has been your experience, then the Holy Spirit will be your helper and give you the power to walk and live by the Spirit. Yes, we do need to know that we are first and foremost saved. But we must also allow the Holy Spirit to increasingly form us into the likeness of Christ. This means that we're going to walk away from the old life of bondage to the sinful nature. In other words, we're not going to rely upon any good works of our own, but we're going to trust solely on that finished work of Christ on the cross for us. We need to be made more like Jesus. Also, we must have the desire for holy living. This is actually a conscious process that goes on in our daily business. It means that we submit ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Remember what Hebrews 12:14 said. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And in 1 Peter 1:15-16. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But just as he called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, the Holy Spirit is not given to us primarily to make us happy, but to make us holy. He is, after all, the Holy Spirit, not the happy spirit. And our prayer should be, Lord, I cannot succeed in living a holy life without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to submit myself to the Holy Spirit, and let me walk in the Spirit and be led by him at all times. Now we turn to verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And in this verse, Paul changes the metaphor slightly. The word he uses means literally to walk or march behind a leader. It's actually a military word to describe soldiers marching in step together. Now, when I was at boot camp, that's not me there, don't worry. I was far more handsome than that. When I was at boot camp, the regimental sergeant major would carry the pace stick under his arm. Because there would be no band playing, he would set the pace for the march. And I think you will see another picture where you see that. That's actually what happens. And you had to keep in step with him. If you were out of step, you would be in big trouble because you would spoil the whole parade. So, if you're taking notes, note number three, what does it mean to keep in step with the Spirit? What does it mean to keep in step with the Spirit? In Ephesians 5:18, Paul reminds us that Christians are commanded to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, the Greek construction of that is so important. Continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is not something that just happens once, but it must be a regular experience. So to keep in step with the Spirit, that should be our daily prayer. We are filled with the Spirit so that our lives may be holy and our work for the Lord effective. Are you taking notes? So daily we must turn from sinful desires and depend on God's power through his Holy Spirit to live for him alone. Now, dear friends, you may not feel any different when you pray this, but as you keep in step with the Spirit, you will still feel normal. But the difference is that you're going to find you have a greater desire to trust and obey, to please him rather than yourself. Note number four. How do we keep in step with the Spirit. As our helper, the Holy Spirit will show us what to do. He teaches us to keep in step with the truth of God's Word, the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm sure you know that verse well. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remember, Jesus said it was the Holy Spirit who would lead us into all truth. That is the truth of His Word. It is the Holy Spirit who illuminates the truth and will show us what the Bible means. He makes the words of the Bible live, understandable, relevant to our lives. So before we read the Scriptures, we should always ask the Holy Spirit to open that word to our minds and our hearts, because that's part of His work to do. And we need to walk in His Word day to day. We need to be grounded in the Word. And dear friends, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Is that your experience? Do you daily get into the Word of God, read it, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you from God's Word? And you know, one of the wonderful results of keeping in step with the Spirit is that He will show you what you need to do and the way He wants you to take. Well, how does He do that? Wonderful thing. May come while you are just prayerfully reading the Scriptures. Maybe even reading a passage you've read many times before. But then, certain verses seem to just stand out in a new way and be personally directed to you in your present situation and circumstance. I want to tell you that has happened many times to me. Verses that I've read many times, that particular verse from that particular day just speaks direct to my heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, showing us what God wants us to know from His Word. This is the Holy Spirit leading us through His Word. And when He does, we need to trust and obey. He also teaches us to keep in step by prayer. Because the Holy Spirit is our counselor or helper, we may turn to Him for assistance in all forms of our Christian service and spiritual warfare. In particular, the Spirit helps us to pray because He understands our weakness. Listen to what Romans 8:26 says. Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Oh dear beloved, we need to be much in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. How about you and me? Are we doing that? Praying continually. We can't even begin something, continue something, end something, without knowing God's help in prayer. And as we've heard before when we did the study in Nehemiah, there's that arrow prayer. Time when perhaps we don't even have time to use words. We just, our hearts lift up to God in His presence. And we make a prayer request and God hears us. But I want to ask you today, do you spend time daily in prayer? Oh, how we need to do that. Then He teaches us to keep in step towards the light of the love of Jesus. Jesus said He was the light of the world, and to keep in step with the Spirit is to follow Jesus as the light of His wonderful grace and love to us. To be more like Jesus, that should be our desire. He also teaches us to walk away from sin. Sin is disobedience to the revealed will of God. And we walk away by having that sin nature cleansed by the pure, righteous life and death of Jesus. By faith we walk to the cross and we leave our sin there, knowing that He dealt with that sin and we can go forward. This must be surely a principle in our spiritual life, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. What we do, what we feel, what we desire, what we speak, and even what we suffer, is to have the Holy Spirit directing, controlling, governing all these things. He is there to be our helper. Are you willing to let Him do His work in you? Note number 5. What happens when we get out of step with the Spirit? You probably know the story well of a mother who was watching her son in a military parade. And she said, "Look, my Johnny is the only one in step." He wasn't, of course. And it's possible, isn't it, to get out of step with the Spirit and not even be aware of it. But you know, we can and we do hinder the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in our lives because we simply do not listen to what our Savior and Master requires of us. Keeping in step in the Spirit means that when we know what is the will of God for us and we do it, don't go through just the motions of it. The Scriptures give us clear warnings about this, and we ought to pay careful attention to them. You're taking notes. We quench or put out the Spirit's fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, or do not quench, suppress, subdue the Spirit. You know that one of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit is fire. And so this instruction is very appropriate. How do we quench or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit? How do you put out a fire? Well, you dampen it down, don't you? You don't let it burn. And we put out the Spirit's fire when we decide to simply ignore what He has to say to us. When we refuse to do the revealed will of God for us. When perhaps we're just too busy doing our own thing. When we doubt the Word of God and then take matters into our own hands, thinking we know what is best for us. Now friends, whether we do this consciously or even out of ignorance, the result is the same. We put ourselves in a position where the Holy Spirit will have to do His work of convicting us of our sin. That's part of His work. Praise God for that. His work is to convict us of our sin. He won't let us remain there. Because you see, ignoring God is sinning against Him. And if you have put out the Spirit's fire in your heart by ignoring God's word, living the self-life, then you need to confess it before the Lord. You need to repent of that sin and return to the Lord and follow Him. And if you're taking notes, we can also get out of step with the Spirit when we grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, as we know, only a person can be grieved, not a force. And we know the Holy Spirit is a person, as we learned right at the beginning of our series. But you know, the Greek word here for grieve is not the same as when we grieve in the loss of a loved one. Here it means to offend God. or insult? How do we know if we have grieved or offended the Holy Spirit? What is it that grieves him? Well, you look further down in your Bible and you see one list is given in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, and all slander along with every form of malice. Whenever a Christian, you see, lies, pollutes his soul by any deceitful or vengeful or dirty thoughts or suggestions, he is grieving the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit. So anything we do that is unholy will grieve him and insult him. And we certainly will not have that sweet fellowship with him. We will not be left in the dark about this. You're a child of God. God is going to deal with you. He will never let you go. And the Holy Spirit, in his own gracious way, will speak to our hearts through our conscience and make us feel guilty and miserable, have no peace, have a heaviness of heart. That's his work for us. And dear friends, when this happens, we must come before the Lord again in repentance, putting away that sin that has grieved him. And then a sense of inward peace and fellowship with him will be restored again. But if we do not respond to his conviction and warnings, then we're going to end up in a backslidden state. And then we will come under the discipline and chastisement of God until we do confess our sin, repent of it, and return to the Lord. Remember that lovely verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to do that daily, don't we? So let us be careful that we do not either put out the Spirit's fire or grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Then indeed we will be blessed, used for God's glory, and people will see in us the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege for us to have the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, to play such a large part in our lives. As our brother Frank said at the beginning of the series, many thought that the Holy Spirit was a forgotten member of the Trinity. But without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing, nothing we can do. He's the one that we need to rely upon. And as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to walk or live by the Spirit in truth, to keep in step with the Spirit, and to bear the fruit of the Spirit, not carrying out the desires of the flesh. Scripture reminds us in many places that we can only do this by means of the Holy Spirit when we place our lives under his full control and depend on him alone. When we do not rely on our own human abilities, our actions, our intuition, our strength, but remain submissive to his leading, obedient to his corrections, being led and guided by the truth of his word. The person who does this will share the same view that our Lord and Master had, looking for the joy which is set before us and the glory to be revealed. What a challenge for you and me to follow in the footsteps of him who is our example in all things. So, dear friend, what is it about you and me? When I preach the sermon, I've got to preach to myself. Are you and I willing to accept that challenge and make that firm commitment, asking the Lord himself to help us? If you and I are serious with God in this matter, then I ask you to pray this prayer with me silently. I will pray it. Pray it in your heart. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving my soul and for indwelling me with your Holy Spirit, for giving me his power to live my life for you. Help me, I pray, that I may walk day by day and keep in step with him, listening to his voice and obedient to his will for my life. Help me so that I will not succumb to the desires of the flesh, but rather walk in newness of life, for the sake and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. What a challenge for us, dear friends, as we go out today, as we walk out those doors, may we go out different to when we came in, and to walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Amen.